Just 5 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. How about another game? So, like, this game is going under the radar locally, but Air Force in Wyoming. That was an amazing game. Dude, I got to tell you, we were treated for, I know if you're a Buffs fan, you're not going to say positive, but we were treated to a lot of really interesting storyline-worthy games over the weekend. And even though the Buffs thing ended in absolute embarrassment and a debacle, it was still really entertaining. Like, yeah, you were getting a little pumped about that when you came in because you're like, what the hell? 29-0. And then you started engaging in the game. And I think you were kind of blown away by that.
Yeah, it's just you don't see something like that. And I turned the game on thinking, okay, I'm going to turn the game on here. CU's going to go down and score, which they did. And I thought, okay, there's the game. That's it. Stanford's done. Because, of course, when I turn the game on, they just wrap it up.
So yeah.
I was shocked. And then, you know, Stanford, number 13, just keeps running slant routes. And eventually they pull it off, get it to tie game. Shador takes him down the field. I'm like, okay, this is it. You're done. Coffin corner punt. You're done. No, I was wrong.
Yeah. Well, and CU throws the pick at the end, and then all Stanford needs to do was at the kick, right? Or did they get a touchdown? I'm blanking out here. There was so much freaking football.
So I did learn something from this game, and it clarified something from the Rocky Mountain Showdown that I was confused about.
Oh, yeah.
With the overtime rules, and that at the second overtime, they don't do a coin toss, but if you lost the coin toss for the first overtime, you get first pick at what you want to do.
Mm.
So it's a better strategy for you for, you know, as Stanford did it. CU got the ball to start overtime one. They score, Stanford scores, tie game. Now you go into second overtime. Stanford, it's your choice. Do you want the ball or do you want to defend? The smart choice is I want to be on defense first so I know how much I need to score.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't know that because really I always thought it was switched.
Yeah.
Like if you start with the first overtime, second overtime, you're on the other side. But apparently you get a pick.
Is that new this the last couple of years?
It has to be new because I remember a Bama LSU game a few years ago that was, I think it was like four overtimes. And it alternated who got the ball to start. But apparently you have a pick. If you lose the coin toss, you get pick in the second overtime.
Oh, it put all the pressure.
So that's why against CSU, CU got the ball to start both overtimes.
Interesting. Well, yeah, I mean, the smart move is if you get to pick, I mean, putting all the pressure on their offense is great. If they don't score,
then it
whatever.
Gives you, okay, we picked off Shador. All we need is a field goal.
Yeah, and they did. They got the interception and then the field goal. It was.
Is that a play where Shador maybe should? I mean, you can't take a sack there, but.
Yeah. Was that what? It was third and goal,
mm-hmm.
So taking a sack would have been better than the alternative,
maybe
I guess.
You
get the points, or you go for it.
Like that, yeah.
Listen, I still think Shador Sanders is really good. I just think he just has these moments of, you know, his line doesn't block for him a lot throughout the game. So he's a little gun-shy, forces things.
Another thing I know is the tackling is on par with the Broncos.
Oh, my gosh.
The arm tackles where they run across the screen and try to throw an arm out, and then there's three defenders on the floor.
It's terrible.
Like, did we not wrap up anymore? We don't teach these kids to wrap up and bring someone to the ground.
Well, and a lot of those
passes. No, you're
passes,
strong enough. You're doing all those curls in the locker room. You can just put your arm out and knock them down.
A lot of those passes by, was it Ashton Daniels, too? A lot of them are short passes that just turned into run. Like,
well,
they were basically long runs.
That's how you beat CU's defense.
Oh,
we saw Torrey Horton do it for like 800
yards.
Well,
that's what I was tweeting out at the end of the game. I was like, if I'm Stanford, I'm going over the middle all night for the rest of the night, making your comeback here because they didn't. Now, they did slants. They did a bunch of quick slants, but they were still going to the middle of the field. Short little middle of the field routes. That's where I'm attacking CU right now because they don't seem to have the linebackers that are heady enough to play both the run and the inside pass game. And they seem to not have corners. Even with Travis Hunter, it seemed to not have corners that can really take away the inside. And where I'm capitalizing if I'm opposing.
Talk about these shutdown corners. They were throwing at Travis all night. He wasn't locking down that side of the field.
No. There was that one play. It was a deep play. I don't remember. Dude, I don't remember which touchdown it was for Stanford. But it was the left side of the field, and Travis Hunter's out there, but he almost gets lost because his safety's there, and almost like he gets confused as to where to go. Guy catches it, does a little twist, spins up field, and Travis lost him. That's what I guess you do with CU right now is, you know, athletically, they have the speed. They're skill position players. They're corners, they're wide receivers, they're running backs. But do they have the actual mental side of the game down just yet? And I don't even know if Shador has all that down just yet. I don't think he does. His physical stuff is there.
No, if you want to really look at this team, you know, take the gold glasses off, it's Shador, Hunter, a little bit of Shiloh, maybe Jimmy Horn, maybe Edwards.
Xavier Weaver's good.
Yeah, just some guys.
Yeah, you have good skill player guys.
Sure.
I mean, but you just don't have the trenches guys. That's just where you're struggling. And they were doing okay with that in the first half of the game against Stanford. But, yeah, weren't able to get it done in the
second half. Do you get a sense that maybe some of these starters or bench players on this team look at and say, hey, no, we have Shador, we have Hunter, we can just...
out-athlete them.
And they can just carry it.
Yeah, I think you get caught in the... We can out-athlete them. You know, it's kind of like CSU sometimes with, oh, they're going to punt. Good. Torrey Horton's just going to go return it for a touchdown. Like, that's a mindset sometimes because Torrey Horton is such a great athlete. And I think CU does that with their entire offense and their corners, that at some point our athletes are just going to intercept a pass even though they've been out of possession all game.
Oh, and they've been told for the last 6 months that they're the greatest thing ever. That... Oh, we come in and we're Louie, and I get it. That's all preseason hype, and now it doesn't look as shiny anymore at 4-3. But it's okay to consider the early part of the season as maybe you just got your heads a little too big. Yeah, you started 3-0 with three good wins. That was great. But then you got into Pac-12 play, and you got punched in the mouth.
Now you're starting
to see this identity of the team. This is their real chance to show who they are.
I'll give you the Stanford game. Like, that game, you got too big. You got two in front of your skates there. Yeah. I don't know if that mentally anything would... I think USC was just the better team.
Well, I think there was certainly an attitude and a chip on this team because everyone was saying, oh, you're not going to get blah, blah, blah wins. You're not going to get X amount of wins. And there was haters and there was believers on all sides of this that inflated the hype of this team and what it could be and what it should be. And... there have been realists along the way that have been saying, no, pump the brakes. This is where they're actually at. And I think you're seeing where they're actually at right now.
Yeah, and I won't bring his name up, but Tanner had mentioned one of the media guys that was like, if Travis Hunter played if he didn't get hurt, then the Buffs would be single-digitly ranked, which is asinine.
If my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a bike.
But
she's not.
I can't say that about my favorite. Now, again... if the Nuggets didn't have Nikola Jokic, they would not win a championship, okay? Like, that we can say. But for us to say this, Angel, you and I are both pretty big Nuggets guys. For us to say with the most confidence in the world that the Nuggets would have won a championship a year ago had Jamal Murray been healthy, to say it as if it were fact is silly. To say their chances would be better, sure. But to flat out say the Nuggets would be the best team in the NBA if Jamal Murray was healthy 2 years ago. I can say they'd be better, but I don't know what that means in terms of win losses. If Travis Hunter was healthy in the Oregon game, you'd probably still get blown out. If Travis Hunter was healthy in the USC game, again, teams change their game plans with who's on the field and what they're going to do and how they're going to attack the opponent. Who knows, dude? Maybe they decide to go at Travis Hunter and they get him like Stanford did in the second half, and you win by more if you're USC. We can't just say, especially a cornerback. I'm sorry, but I know he's wide receiver too, but their wide receivers are pretty damn good even without Travis Hunter. I just think that's a weird statement.
It is weird, and It's not to take away the great player that he is and the impacts that he has and how important he is to the team, but one player doesn't make a difference. One coach doesn't make a difference.
Unless he's a quarterback, typically.
Sure.
I mean, that's
but
about
you
it.
You have a top five quarterback in college football, and you still lost those two games.
Yeah. So I disagree with that one, and I also disagree with the way that this guy went about it, bringing, you know, our guy, bringing Henry's name back into it when it, that seemed to go away. That's unhealthy. That's just borderline kind of gross and grimy.
Did this person delete that tweet? Because I haven't found it again.
I don't know. Let's check. Let's check during the break. Smitty says, Travis Hunter was a great player at Jackson State. He's just a good athlete at this level. Horton exposed him before Hunter was hurt. Horton is the definition of skill. He has all the skill, but he's extremely smart when it comes to the X's and O's of football. Extremely smart. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. 17 minutes after the hour. We'll jump out here and take a quick break. When we come back, I do want to talk about Air Force in Wyoming. So I'll get into some of that. Also, how will these teams respond, win or lose this weekend, now that the weekend is over? How do you respond? If you're CSU, how do you respond against UNLV? If you're CU, you got the bye week. Do you recover, lick your wounds, and come back from one of the most devastating losses ever? Or what do you do? 17 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show. Powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
Want high school football? You've come to the right place. High school football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I'm just going to say, like, did you watch the Saturday Night Live skit where was it Keenan?
Yes.
Was doing
Keenan Thompson.
He was portraying, which I love Keenan, by the way. I grew up on Keenan and Kel and all that. Great stuff. I don't, however, really like Saturday Night Live anymore. I used to, but I don't last 10, 15, 20 years. I don't know. Did you like the skit? Was it that funny? I thought they could have done a lot more with it.
I thought it was funny. I liked, you know, it reminded me a lot of his LeVar Ball kind of stick that he did a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was closer to LeVar Ball, which I have made those comparisons.
There are comparisons between the two. Yeah, I thought it was funny. You're going to strike while the iron's hot. It's in everyone's mind still from the previous night, so... Yeah, I thought you got some good jokes in there.
It was
29-0. I just went home.
It wasn't like, that I thought they were name, distasteful or anything.
He's like, we're undefeated. Actually, you're 4-3. We named 10 undefeated teams.
Yeah, that
name
was
10 undefeated teams.
That was pretty good.
And just making fun of the extravagance of Deion Sanders.
I just think there's a lot more they can do with it. Like, I don't...
how much can you do without Deion pulling a receipt you saw what they say on Saturday Night Live.
He will go after Saturday Night Live. But see, I look at it and go, this is Saturday Night Live for you. You got gold here. You have prime time, and I respect and I do like what he's doing, but make no mistake about it, if you want to make fun of him, there's ways to do it. In the way he talks and stuff, like about
start talking about his toes or something.
That might be drawing
the comedy.
Line. That would be drawing the
That's
line.
That's comedy.
But I just thought he could have done more with it because, like, the whole do you believe now? No, you just lost. You were up 29-0. There could have been a lot more with that.
I saw some stuff like Deion still got a little bit of Falcons blood in him, blowing leads like that.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, ouch. Yeah. How's Matty Ice feel about that one? Listen, there's no way around it. It was bad. It was embarrassing for CU.
I think that the funniest thing that in the aftermath of it is the video that came out of him in the locker room, and he's up on his little stage giving his post-game speech, and it's all quiet, and the only thing you can hear is him talking, and then the stage underneath him is creaking every time he takes a step, and it's just like, I can't take you seriously because you're just get off the table.
The opposite of what happened when... At the beginning of the season, when he's like, hit by music and everything was perfect, and it was, goosebumps, this is great. And then, you know, this is what happens when you lose. It's just not as fun. It's not as sexy. It's not as appealing. Now, I'll be curious to see what the Buffs do next. They're off this weekend.
He did say he doesn't like he doesn't like this bye week. He would rather just kind of get back into it.
I would hate this bye week if I were CU. because that was an awful way to lose a game. Just
what's the odds
awful.
That CU gets a Friday night game next year?
Mm.
Very small.
Well, Friday the 13th, remember? You said it was kooky. Anything could happen. They got UCLA next. UCLA.
They're a pretty good team.
They're top 25, aren't they?
They have a tough schedule the rest of the way. Like, Stanford, Arizona State were your two games in the Pac-12 that you kind of had to win those.
And Arizona's not really a slouch.
Nope.
Washington State lost a tough one, right? But
they did. To that Arizona team.
Yeah. But that's still tough. And then Utah. And then did they get their guy back? Did Utah get their quarterback back?
I
haven't been paying attention.
I don't know if they need him.
I don't,
like,
well,
16-0 at home right now.
Yeah, the game I watched, I was a big believer in Utah. But when I watched them, who did they play? It was like 3 weeks ago. No, it was against Oregon State. And they lost 21-7. And that's when I was like, no, Utah's not the real deal.
USC this weekend.
Yeah.
How about USC losing?
Oh my gosh. And just getting like
one of the most boring football broadcasts I've ever seen for Notre Dame USC. I don't know what they were doing, but the crowd noise was like muted and muffled that you couldn't even hear it. You hear Collinsworth Jr. and some other son of a famous announcer that kind of just got.
So really together. Collinsworth Jr.?
Yes. Chris Collinsworth kid. Is just as bad, if not worse.
Does he do
than
the ears again?
He sounds like an auto tune Chris Collinsworth.
I didn't
even
watch
no
that.
There's no energy
game.
In the broad. This is Notre Dame USC, and I'm about to fall asleep in the first quarter.
I didn't even know.
I muted the game because it was bad. But yeah, Chris Collinsworth Jr. I think it's like Chuck Collinsworth or something.
Did you watch Collinsworth last night?
I tried to. Giants were trying to keep me interested.
Tirico made some weird jokes, and I'm like, I don't even get what he's saying.
Like, I think they were expecting a blowout in that game, and the Giants kind of surprised him a little bit with Tyrod Taylor, the old man.
Oh, but now you guys, because it was you guys were doing this thing about broadcasters last week, and I think you guys were giving Collinsworth a hard time. Mm-hmm. And I've never disliked Collinsworth. But you guys must be in my brain, because last night I'm like, shut up, Collinsworth.
Listen to him.
He
speaks all the time.
I just don't get caught up in it as much, and I'm a radio guy. You think
like
I
Josh
should.
Josh Allen throws an incompletion. That was a great play right there. Look at him just stand in the pocket and make a throw like that. I know he didn't catch it, but that ball's there 9 out of 10 times.
That and plus just the way he talks about it. And then Tirico's trying to stay. I still thought Tirico and Gruden, I used to hate him at first, and then I started loving him because it was so awkward. Because Gruden was just like, oh, man, he's like hitting him. He's like hitting Tirico, you know. He's like, oh, man, this hit right there really jacks you up, you know. And then Tirico's like, yeah. That was funny. That was good. Enjoyed that. But this, not really. Yeah, the FS1 crew for the CSU Boise State game, we had that call too. That was they have some really good people that do those games. Some really good. You know why I think it's not just their voices or presentation; they are forced to really dive in and study the games they're doing. Mm-hmm. Because when you're doing NFL games, I mean, it's in our face. NFL is in our face all day long. The big college games in our face all day long. If you're going to do CSU and Boise State, you're not seeing that on the four-letter network or any of these other ones. You really have to dive in and get the stories and find unique information around these guys. And I think that makes for a better broadcast. I've noticed that more.
If you know what you're talking about, the fans of those teams will want to listen to you again. It's like, hey, this guy knows what he's talking about. Or he's not just making some stuff up because he went to practice for 20 minutes on a Thursday or something. So. Yeah, I think a lot goes into it. But yeah, that NBC broadcast for Notre Dame was terrible.
It was a weird weekend. Just a weird weekend. And the NFL, too. I mean, how many undefeated teams?
Zero.
Ended up losing. All of them lost, right?
Them
Eagles lost. Niners lost.
Oh, man, Brock Purdy's not so good without his weapons, is he?
Is Brock Purdy human? Because Christian McCaffrey had a nice touchdown play, and then he gets hurt. Debo's hurt too, right?
Yeah, fighting in the pregame. Again, why do you swing at persons with helmets on?
I don't know. That's the dumbest thing ever.
When your job is to catch the ball with your hands, can't break your hands. Niners kicker missing a field goal.
Yeah.
Probably should have had that field goal.
Jalen Hurts throws an uncharacteristic interception.
Eagles.
Well, you know, when they were four and oh, I thought they're winning really ugly games, but they're winning, so that's good.
They're just good. They got a good D, and good front seven. Hurts is.
And the Jets. How about the Jets? Yeah.
No, I don't want to give them anything.
They're 3-3. Zachy Zach.
No, they're trying to call them Zachy Zach. They're trying to bring the Jets back as like, oh, remember the little old Jets?
They're
so cute.
They're going to bring it back.
3-3 again.
Rodgers is becoming a robot, by the way. His leg is getting replaced by some kind of.
See, now I'm starting to think this script thing is real.
Yeah, maybe so.
That you say, hey, Rodgers, just fake an injury, fake an Achilles in week one, and then we're going to make sure the Jets can kind of stay in it all the way, and then you'll come back in the last week three.
But we can't, like, have the Jets blow it out the door. They got to be bad enough to need you as the hero, but
right.
good enough to get into
the feel-good
playoffs.
Story, so Zach Wilson, you're up.
Yeah.
Ugh, gross.
And Daniel Jones is, like, not a part of the movie anymore. He got hurt. Now he's out. He didn't play last night. Tyrod Taylor. Remember, when I used to say Daniel Jones was boring till last year, and I was like, oh, he's not boring. Now he's boring again. So the script's like, let's just write him off, you know, like in a sitcom. Let's write this dude off. 31 minutes after the hour on Shell. We got to jump out. We got the we're ahead, right? We're good. No, we're not. We're behind. We are. We're good. Bottom of the hour. Okay, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Thanks for keeping me on track there, Anja. Like, sometimes I just, like, lose where we are in the clock when we have great stuff going on. Like, today's show could go for hours. Shout out, dude, I do read your stuff, by the way. Those of you guys that get on Ram Nation, I love interacting with people from Ram Nation. Joel Cantal, LaMessa, Mike Rowe, Steve Ivey, great people over there. Interesting fan base, some great fans, some very scary ones.
Are you saying that winning doesn't always cure everyone's feelings?
It does not. I got this really nice comment, and I appreciate you, Aggie Ram, I appreciate you. It's like, hey, I got to give Brady a thumbs up with today's show. He's been on fire summarizing the weekend games and speaking the truth about Colorado State, UNC, Wyoming, Air Force, all that stuff. He wasn't gushing over Coach Norvell, but made wise use of the interview and questions and getting honest answers from Jay. Yeah, and that's awesome. I love that. Thank you so much, man. That gives me a big head, and I will be cocky for the rest of the day. But I thought this was an interesting comment. He had the warm, fuzzy stuff down. Zero questions about first quarter play calling.
If you want hard-hitting questions from a coach about games, listen to their post-game press conferences, because that's going to give you instant reaction to it.
No, and
Brady's more of a, yeah, we're going to have a good interview, but also we're talking about a win.
Right.
Talking about a historic win in CSU history.
Yeah, like, I'm not opposed to asking hard-hitting questions. I'm just not opposed to it. But I got 15 minutes with the guy, if that. And you want me, instead of talking about the Hail Mary, instead of talking about the onside kick, instead of talking about the last 6 minutes of the game and Braden Fowler-Nicolosi and Dallin Holker, and I'm sorry, you beat Boise State for the first time in history. Forgive me if I'm not going to present a negative tone to that interview. Like, I almost cussed.
Coach, the play was great at the end of the game, but why were you down 30-10?
Yeah, I'm not wired that way. Are there concerns? Yeah, but dude, on a Monday after the fact, it's hard to be concerned when you just scored. How many points did they score in 6 minutes? 20? Was it 21? 20, yeah, it was 21. 21 points in 6 minutes? Yeah, I'm going to give you a pass on the first quarter. Can I do that? Braden Fowler-Nicolosi is a freshman. Hopefully he gets better. And you know what? You know what I said last week to start the week when, you know, a lot of people were like, give it time. He's a freshman. It'll get better. And my frustration was, yeah, I do believe you. He will get better. But I want to win now. I want to win now. What is that going to look like now? Because I'm tired of it's coming. And Adazio's infamous line of we're this close. Like, I'm tired of it. But to be fair, if he can learn while winning, dude, that's the combo. That's the ticket. And that's where the Rams are. But forgive me. I'm not going to bust his you know what about the first quarter play calling. You won the game in one of the most exciting games I've seen in a very, very long time, maybe ever. You won that game. So forgive me if I'm not going to dwell on the negatives there. I'm just not going to do it. And you're right. The post game, when it's raw and it's a loss, yeah, you're probably going to hear their thoughts on that. But I guarantee you in that post game on Saturday, there wasn't a whole heck of a lot of, "Coach, tell us what you did wrong sat in that first quarter." I'll bet not. But maybe. But again, and I'm not opposed to asking tough questions. You know, what was going through your brain kind of as you're not really aggressive in the first quarter and it's more of a passive style offense like we saw against Washington State. But I'm sorry, guys. I got 15 minutes with Coach. And we're talking history. We're talking pulling off a crazy win in 6 minutes. So I'm going to spend my time there. That's the truth of it. You know, you can't, Angel, you just can't please them all. And again, I love, actually, the Ram Nation people have been some of the best listeners of this show. So I don't knock it. And I probably don't even knock that guy for saying it. But I'm sorry, dude. It was history. It was positive. It was fun. That's where I'm going to focus. Take me through the Hail Mary play. Because what are most people interested in, Angel? Most people that are watching highlights and listening to this show on a Monday, maybe they didn't catch the game or maybe they did. What's on the top of their mind from the CSU game? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Win.
The Hail Mary. Onside kick. 6 minutes down 30 to 10. Like, those are the things, man.
Let the players and coaches worry about the things that they need to get fixed. You, as the fans, enjoy the win. That's what you're supposed to do.
Well,
don't worry about, first quarter, yeah, they won the game. Good job.
And I get it,
but they'll work that out this week. They'll get it figured out in practice.
I hope so. Because trust me, am I saying that it's not a concern that sometimes this offense looks like we're not going to just let BFN go crazy? Sure. But I also think there's part of that, too. Not a lot of excuses for it. I'm just saying, I think there's part of it where Coach Norvell wants to diminish turnover chances because he knows what he has in BFN. You got to be careful here. And those of you saying, then why is he out there? Because the other guy you had, who I love, Clay Millen, just probably doesn't seem to be the fit. And it pains me to say that. Because I like Clay. I was really bummed for Clay when they pulled him. But after watching BFN this year as opposed to last year with Clay, it just feels like there's a little more oomph. There's a little more, you know, something, man. Just something to it. So I'm not going to die on the first quarter hill of, oh, man, we got to talk about that, and letting him off the hook. Like, I'm not going to say, like, we've talked about the first quarter before, but today it's Victory Monday for the Rams. If you guys can't enjoy the wins, my God, what are you like when you lose? You know? I mean, I'm as bummed as the next guy when they lose, but when they win like that, let's have some fun. You know, let's go have a blast. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. But I read your stuff. Put them out on Ram Nation. I'm going to find it because I know we got a lot of good Rams listeners there. I just got like, somebody said that like, for every three positives, there's this negative. Love the show. What's up with the softballs for Jay Norvell? What are we throwing hard pitches at Jay Norvell for on Victory Monday? First time you ever beat Boise State in a Hail Mary fashion.
If you want to ask a softball question, you can text us or get at us on Twitter.
If you want to ask a hard question, go ahead and put it on there. But again, I got 15 minutes with the guy. I'm not sure that I want in my list of questions. I'll be honest with you. On my notes, I had first half issues on offense. I wanted to go over that. But the way these interviews go, and especially when it's something that fun and that positive, yeah, we're going to go there. Next time I'll get him on, I'll say,
all right, Jay, we're going to cut right to the chase here. Did you do this in this moment of this game? Because that led to this negative outcome and blah.
I don't want to roast. I don't want to roast this guy too bad because he said love the show. So flattery will get you somewhere with me.
I love what you're doing, but I don't know if I like what you're doing.
That's half my life. I think I like it. I'm not sure, but good. Texter says, would it be your last interview with Coach if you asked him about the first quarter play calling? Do I think that CSU would pull the plug and be mad at me if I did that? I don't think so. No, I absolutely could have asked that. That one, see, like, I don't even think that's a anti-softball. I don't think that's a hard pitch.
I don't think Jay's keeping receipts on you, Brady.
No, I don't think that that's a bad question to ask. It's just it didn't come up. You know, it is what it is. I'm going to spend more time talking about the positives, dude. This is why sports is so great. It can be, I mean, all of us were in this together, dude. I tweeted out at the end of that game Saturday night, like, how the hell do we sleep? And everybody's like right there with me. Like, we don't. We scroll Twitter now for the next 2 hours because that's where we are. So it is fun. Enjoy the wins. Enjoy the opportunities to express positivity with the coach who they've been busting their humps trying to win one. Has it always been perfect? No. Hell, I didn't agree with Norvell going for it. Was it like 8 minutes left when they went for it? Went for it on fourth down? There was a few things I disagree with stuff all the time with what coaches do. But if the positives are going to certainly outweigh the negatives, then I'm going to go that route. 45 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break, get to what we learned, and then we'll wrap up the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The Best Nuggets podcast is back at 1310KFK.com. A pickaxe to grind with Brady Hull and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles Blumhardt, sports editor at the Fort Collins Coloradoan, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What do we learn on the 16th day of October? I think I learned, as a sports fan, don't ever turn off the TV. Even if you're done with the game, you think it's over, if it's your team and you cover them, you're passionate about them, whatever, leave the TV on, at least in the background, because you never know what might happen. Angel, what'd you learn today?
Football is football. Things are going to happen in games where players get hurt, things happen, plays go wrong. And at the end of the day, you either win that game or you lose that game and you move on. It's October 16th now. I'm not going to worry about a game from September. I'm going to look forward to the next weekend of games.
Did you see the eclipse?
You mean did I look at it?
Yeah, did you? I had glasses.
With my eyes, no, I stared at it for about
special,
30 seconds.
Special glasses.
Yeah. No, I was like looking out the window because I could see like the light outside was getting a little weirdish. So I was like, oh, let me see where the sun is.
Yeah.
Not knowing it was like directly above my window. So I kind of peeked out just a bit and just got blinded.
Oh, I did too. I had my father-in-law, I had these glasses on. Where did you get these? And I'm looking at it, and then I took them off real quick because there was something like in front of me, like covering my vision. So I looked to go see, and it was like a tree branch because I'd walked a little bit, and it was a tree branch. And I glanced up at the friggin' thing, and
at the sun, kids.
It was especially there, but it was really cool. I also learned what that looked like. Did it? I mean,
nothing really didn't change anything.
I looked at it, and I'm like, huh. Okay, I could either stand out here for the next few minutes or just be done.
Get weird looks from the neighbors, but, you know.
I just
what's that Brady guy doing?
I just was like, no, I
just walked into a tree.
It's neat, but because my father-in-law called, he's like, are you going to go out and look at it? I was like, oh yeah, it's getting all the lighting's all weird out there. I'll go check it out. And then I looked up. I'm like, cool, that's cool.
All right, my eyes hurt.
I'm good, I think. I think that's
it won't
where
happen again in another 1,000-year years or so.
That's cool, but
you can look it up on the internet. It's the same picture.
It's the same thing, yeah. There are certain things that I'm like, you got to go out and see and view. But I've
seen a lunar eclipse before, and that's cool.
Can you look at that?
You can look at a lunar eclipse.
Ooh. Why is you don't have to have any kind of special?
I don't think so. At least I hope not. Because that was like 2000
years later.
That was like 15 years ago. Like I just stared at the moon all night and nothing happened.
that's good. That was a fun show today. Weird weekend. You know what was nice yesterday? I'm going to say it.
No Broncos?
No Broncos. It was just.
I don't think I heard the Broncos mentioned at all yesterday.
It was just kind of nice. You know, we've been through it so much over the years. It was just nice not to watch this offense maybe score a quick touchdown and then nothing. And it was just nice. You know, it's stressful watching that. And again, it's stressful watching CSU. Stressful watching Wyoming and Air Force. And stressful watching CU. But the Broncos, man, for as much as they put into that thing, money and contracts and draft picks. It's just, it was nice. It was a nice little break away from that. I did try to watch. I could not sleep after the CSU game. Couldn't sleep. I mean, it was 2 a.m, dude, and I'm just sitting there. I admit, all water, didn't drink any alcoholical beverages or anything like that, so I'm staying up. So I started watching
Paw Patrol.
No, what is it? Nightmare Before Christmas? Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I got about 20 minutes in and I fell asleep, but it is.
Right when it becomes a Christmas movie and not Halloween anymore?
Yeah. That's a good movie. It's creepy. It's creepy, but comical and fun. Yeah, it's a good one. I'm getting in that mode where I got to start watching it because I got to get ready because we're getting close. Halloween's right around the corner.
It's right there. We got
half the month.
Basketball next week.
Nuggets next week. I watched a little bit of the Nuggets-Bulls game.
Is Julian Strother a bench player or, you know, anything more than that right now? Because that kid's got some talent.
He's got a lot of talent. I want to get into that. I want to get into Calvin Booth.
20 points in all 3 games?
Yeah, I want to talk about Calvin Booth's comments, too, about Bones. We'll bring that up tomorrow.
Bones catching strays.
Calvin Booth is a stud.
I think he's feeling himself.
Yeah, I mean, Christian Brown, now Strother. I mean, this is... He's good, and he just looks good. Like, he doesn't look like a rookie. That's what's nuts about it.
Calvin Booth or?
No, Strother. Well, Calvin's only.
I hope Calvin doesn't look like a rookie.
Calvin's only a 2-year guy at this level. And this is, what is this, his second draft?
No strikes yet. I mean, he's probably got Bones, but he didn't bring Bones in. His first move was to sign Nikola Jokic.
Bones was the draft before. Yep, you're right. Yeah, that wasn't his. Christian Brown and Strother so far, and we'll see what happens with Pickett. We'll see, because you know where I am with Reggie Jackson. You know where I am there. Let's go Pickett. All right, that'll do it for us. Replay coming up later on this afternoon. Good night, Northern Colorado.